You're listening to Radio Influence.
You know what, though? I find it ironic that people who are against things that cause sexual thoughts are generally fundamentalist Christians who also believe you should be fruitful and multiply. Isn't that weird? Don't you think they'd be for things that cause sexual thoughts? You know what I mean? Maybe even a centerfold in the Bible? Miss Deuteronomy? I did that joke in Alabama. These three rednecks met me after the show. Hey, buddy, come here. Hey, Mr. Comedian, come here. Yeah, I love that move. Come here. Not a physics major. I mean, that's a safe bet. Mr. Funny Man, come here. Hey, buddy, we're Christians. We don't like what you said. I said, then forgive me. Later, when I was hanging from the tree, I was hanging next to this little green fella. Christians who kill. Oh, we're about out of ideas on this planet, aren't we? That's why I love people like George Bush or this guy Pat Robertson, this televangelist in the state. These are Christians for stronger nuclear armament. Oh, what a great deal of faith. Because I know if Jesus were here, he'd probably have an Uzi on him. Don't you think he would, Jesus? Yeah, he would.
The Prince of Peace is back, but he's pissed off. Fuck you, pilot.
Tell you what kind of mood I was coming back in.
Did I, fuckers?
Y'all, it's Jesus. He's back, but he's pissed. He's yelling something about the cross. I didn't catch it.
Jesus.
You know, I don't know what y'all believe, and I don't really care. But you have to admit, beliefs are odd. A lot of Christians wear crosses around their necks. You think when Jesus comes back, he ever wants to see a fucking cross? It's kind of like going up to Jackie Onassis with a little sniper rifle pendant, you know? Hey, Jackie, just thinking of John. We loved him. We loved him. He's great.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210 story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of.
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to do.
Media is the...
You take the red
pill. ...nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You had to let it all go?
Take the red pill.
Fear.
911truth.org.
Doubt.
WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
I am so in love with this intro, I want to have sex with it. I do. How could you not want to do a show when this is your intro music? You're so fucking badass. And you know you're not, you know, it's, you definitely know you're not headed for Ozzy and Harriet or Lucy. You know you're headed for New media in a new millennium where we get to control our content 100%. It gives me a boner just to say that. Because I grew up like an idiot thinking that the media was there for me and that we controlled it. And it would never lie to me or deceive me. It was always staying neutral. It just was there to give me the information, and societies, well-informed societies, could decide their futures together. That's what media is supposed to be. I know. Look where it is now. So I never pretend to be some kind of prophet. Believe me, I will tell you what I think and why I think it. The rest is up to you, man. That's why you got a frontal lobe. You need to use your own. Listen. Oh, come on, you're moving. Even if you're not listening live, and I'll get to why I still need to do live podcast rather than in the can podcast. That's just so badass. You think it's done? I don't know. You think it's done? Let's take a sip of this cold beverage.
No, it's not.
And ironically, no, not ironic. Where my life is hit, the moment I saw that movie, I was like, holy crap. Now, I thought of it on two different levels. In other words, let's say there are two realities, just for the sake of the argument. There's the physical world and what we would call a metaphysical world or a spiritual world, and they both coexist. And the only reason either is really valid is they kind of keep each other hidden from each other. So we're in a temporary realm where we have a timeline and we die versus maybe a permanent piece of consciousness that's simply just role-playing for eternity. And it's just such a beautiful, simplistic way of looking at what consciousness is. And that's why George Carlin calls it the big electron. I guess pantheists would be probably the closest way to explain that everything is God taking place. Every universe or multiverse or dimension, all the way through the quantum realm to where everything is everything. And then it kind of separates through vibration and frequency and matter. Basically, frequency and vibration slow down, condenses and creates matter, and then you have a physical world. But if you were to just step back and be able to look at all of it, it's all just one gigantic dance. And I read a book called Conversations with God, and it broke it down so simplistic for me that I, coming from a Roman Catholic religion, always wondered about the idea of, is this it? You know, I mean, is this the evolution of what possibilities are? Man, that's it. Or can there be higher vibrations and thought processes and what we would call an advanced civilization, and one that's gotten over its own warring and it's understood the most important part is knowledge. Knowledge is power. If a society is well informed and they have not one version of a story, but at least two, and hopefully many more to pick from, usually they'll be able to, in their own mind, come to a conclusion about what they think about something. But if you go back to organized religion, it wasn't like that, because that book, not everybody had a Gideon Bible. I mean, I'm on the road working last week and I'm in a hotel room and I'm like, those fucking Gideons, man, you got to give those people credit. I don't know where that printing press is, and I don't know who gets them in every hotel, but I have yet to not find a Gideon Bible in a hotel room. I always go, where's my Bible? And then I open it up, I go, oh, there it is. I never open it. I don't need to. I was surrounded with it. And let me say this about my parents. I'm glad they cared enough to instill some morals in me, and they used Roman Catholicism to do it in the stories and the fables and the books. You know what? I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. But as George Carlin said, when I reached the age of reason and I started I kept hearing about this punishing, angry, spiteful God flooding the earth, killing people, raining salt and fire. And then, of course, God's love is eternal. And
and perfect. In other words, if God is perfect, then God's love is perfect. So which one is it? Is it the one in the books that needs you to be afraid? Oh, we're going to have a fun dance through the last chapter tonight, my friends. My ass is on. You know what, Jerry? We're going 3 hours. Make plans, buddy. Make plans. I found this beautiful show. I didn't record it, so my roommate recorded it. And it, we're going to kind of do that beautiful dance of stop and start. Sometimes I hope to have some fun with it. And other times, especially the last chapter, goes to the four horsemen. And the four horsemen. And we're going to get to all my thoughts about it and why these things are taking place. And looking back at this so-called book of Revelation, but you got to kind of understand that if we are to advance as a species, the only way we're going to do that, and it sounds corny, is through funny words like empathy, love, and together. You know, togetherness doesn't mean y'all are alike. It doesn't mean you're all the same color and have the same culture and wear the same clothes, fuck the same way. That's not what that means. It just means you understand you're all of the same species and your benefit is to get along. And the more you get along, the more you benefit. It's kind of like that cycle, those vibrations. Once you create these things, and we'll get to what's being created by the media and has been consistently for a couple decades now, but that mojo is all about what you create. What are you going to create with it? You're going to create fear or you're going to create love? Because if you're going to create love, you're going to get to know a neighbor. You're going to stop and give a buck to a stranger. You're going to do these little pieces that feel so good. That's how we change the world. We change it by reducing the amount of fear. It's kind of like a tug of war. You know, like when you play a tug of war, there's two teams and there's that little red flag in the middle. And then, you know, you can pull so far to one direction and then you eventually collapse because of that, well, essentially kinetic energy. But you know what I'm saying? We as a species are being pulled apart by things like religion, not just religion, but money and power and separation and fear. And these are things that religion creates. It creates a Jew. It creates a Catholic. It creates a Protestant. It creates a Buddhist. It creates a Taoist. It creates an Islamic. When all most people should be paying attention to is step back, look at do what the astronauts had the unbelievable. You know, I'm jealous of anybody who's ever been in orbit of our rock. Can you imagine how wow. You don't see any borders. You don't see any religions. You just see us. Now that's what religion should be doing. If you can get along with your neighbor and, you know, I don't even care, color, separation, whatever you think the differences are, and you get to know each other and you break down that barrier, isn't it awesome? Okay, so why can't religions who keep telling us that we're supposed to be that, and when we're that, the world will change, but they can't sit at the same table together? You know why? Because the moment they acknowledge another, they lose their power over you. Their 500-year-old dogmas start to, it's cracking. It's cracking under scrutiny. What do you think this new pope is trying to do? They're 500 years behind the times, that church. 500 years. They've just apologized to Galileo. Why so slow to change? Oh, yeah. Every time you say, we now think this instead of that, what does that say about what you used to say? It was fucking bullshit, or it was a lie, or it was a deception, or it was a control mechanism, or all of the above. So every time a religion changes its mind, its foundation cracks. Because the people that are plugged into it as really God's words and what God wants, what do you think is going to happen? Their flock is going to scatter because that is what the internet is now creating. And I think it's amazing to see this. And I've said this, you know, if you listen to my show enough, you realize I respect your personal belief. If, man, your love of Jesus or those stories or what you consider your salvation or forgiveness, and you feel safer when you go to bed at night, who the hell am I to tell you you're right or wrong? You know what? I can't guarantee I'm right either. So what I can do, and this is what I'm concerned with, is what is it creating you? Are you this really cool person who kind of like tries to walk in that guy's footsteps and is forgiving and loving and, you know, do the hard, the road less traveled? The whole idea of the Jesus story is to forgive and to sit down with the leper or sit down with the hooker or the tax collector and not judge them. You know, that dude. Where is that dude reaching out to other religions? You know he would. You don't think Buddha and Jesus would be smoking a bowl somewhere going, man, we're like 90% on the same page. It's just a couple. Yeah. Dogma. Just essentially there are truths and good truths that unity, oneness, sameness, all stemming from some energy or substance or creation or however you want to paraphrase it and wrap words around it. I don't fucking care. I don't care. What I do care is, does it turn you into a judgmental prick who's throwing stones at some 16-year-old who thinks she wants an abortion and maybe you should let her walk her path because isn't that Jesus guy or that God guy supposed to do the fucking judging? And you're kind of supposed to just say, hey, my sister was 16 and got pregnant. I know how you feel. I don't necessarily condone what you're doing, but it's not my job to judge you. See, that's a Christian in my mind. They can still testify to what they think and what they feel, but you know what? What does it turn you into? So that side of the spectrum, you now know how I feel. If you kneel down towards Mecca several times a day and you pray to Allah and you know recite words I've never heard before, you know what matters to me is the same thing that matters to me when you say you're a Christian or a Buddhist or a Taoist or a pantheist or an atheist or who am I leaving, agnostic. I don't care what you say you believe or don't believe, because I'm the same as you. I have my take, you have yours. The question is, will your beliefs create a separation between you and I? And what do you think's going on in the world? What do you think organized religion is all about? They're not about getting across the table from each other and leading billions of people out of fear and into togetherness, or shoving more fear down your throat, because without that little book and the story we're going to get to in a little while here, you don't need them. Believe me, I'm not saying there's not a God. That's a different show. It would take me at least an hour to describe my concept of what God is and how intricate and amazing and permanent and thrill-seeking it is that all we simply are is permanent speaks pieces of consciousness. And all we do is when we head back home from the dream that this is, all we do is we hang out there, we watch our loved ones till they finish their dreams, and then we dive back in. And as we dive in, we forget the past. It's kind of like going to a car wash. And suddenly we're born again, and we're doing it as a different person or a different species on a different concept or a different galaxy or a different fucking universe. But to sit there and say, this is the only God, and this is the only way you can go through this, and if you don't do this, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like 500 fucking years ago. That's what it sounds like. Wear the cross around your neck. You know what? Emulate the dude that's on it. That's when you're going to impress me. Because I've had people, oh, yeah, I pray this and I face there. And I'm like, yeah, how come you can't talk to your kids? Or, you know, I'm not throwing their life at them. I'm saying I'm concerned with my behavior. I got things I still need to fix in my world. I have little clouds over my head that I'm not satisfied with yet, and I'm going to fix. You know what? Because I'm concentrated on me. That's, you want to change the world, change you. That's how it works. I change me, you change you, and we get together. Next thing you know, there's two and four. You know, that's how your body fights a disease. Two cells, then four cells, then eight cells. It is no different on no whatever the spectrum you look at it. The symbolism and the symbiotic part of how our individual cells work together in one body, and then we kind of look at us as so-called individual races and colors and creeds, but we're still the same body, and we can't see that. It's because we've been purposely directed away from it. People in power only stay in power if you're afraid. And most of the time you're afraid of people you've never met, cultures you don't understand, and they're halfway around the world. And your source, what you believe to be the truth, is in on it. I wish Walter Cronkite was still alive today. I wish, and you know what? Peter Jennings knew that 9/11 was bullshit. Roger, what's his name from CBS there? And do him a disservice. He was a very good anchor for several years, yeah. Not Roger Mudd. Dan Rather. You'd think they didn't know what a goddamn implosion looks like live on TV. You don't think the moment they went to commercial, they went, what the fuck's going on? These people had high IQs. These people were teleprompter readers with short dresses and push-up bras. These people cared about getting you the information. Why do you think Vietnam came to a standstill? Because you were informed. And people were also turning themselves on to substances that allowed them to break down the simplistic viewpoint of being only plugged into our five senses. And that's really what psychedelics did in the 60s. And people like Bill Hicks and people like me, I've done them. All I can tell you is why the 60s failed is because that feeling, like any feeling from a drug in your body, eventually fades and you go back to some sort of homeostasis in your brain. But the question is, what will you do with that experience? If you were to trip and you would see things differently, would you just think it's just a short circuiting in your brain? Or would you say that, wow, my brain is only giving me one version of what might be going on? It's kind of like having the tuner on a radio and you tune it to the station and it's boom, boom, it's bombing in, right? That's the life we all think we have. And then you kind of go to a little left, a little right, and it sounds kind of fuzzy, like, oh my God, it's the same way our brains work. So we have this interpretation of something called physical matter, three-dimensional space, time. It's mind blowing. They say that a lot in movies. Have you ever just sat back and just for 5 minutes, sober, not sober, high, who cares? And just thought, holy shit, this is amazing. And just stand in awe of it? Because let me tell you, I have yet to read a book or hear a preacher that can even get close to watching the sky at night and realizing what those dots are now and knowing, instead of it being a mystery and going, holy shit, there's about 200 billion stars in the Milky Way. We now have, let me see, oh boy. When I have the info in front of me, I'm better. But because I think it's Cassini that looks at the sun. I think it's Kepler that is spotting planets. Isn't this shit amazing? Well, what happens to that old book? You know, the 7-day creation, you know, that is crumbling. And it's crumbling because that's what always happens in life. 20,000 years ago, I'm sure the gods had different names than the Nords had their own gods, and everybody's got gods, and the Greeks have gods, and the Romans have gods, and some of them are kind of like, ooh, yeah, mommy and son, and they're just like, what the fuck? And now what are we down to? Well, at least the herd is thinning. But when we get to religion's batting average, and that's how I wrote it in the promo, not doing too well, is it? Name, seriously, I mean, you know, you can go through things like the Crusades, where essentially, what was it? Christians and Muslims fighting. Jesus, that doesn't sound relatively familiar. Seriously. I'm also in awe of the story that's unfolding in front of me. I've said that when I started doing talk radio was, holy shit, what an amazing time to be alive. Because of all the scientific breakthroughs and things. And by the way, 420 show next week. I can't wait. All the discoveries and people breaking down stereotypes and people breaking down slowly. You know, sexual stereotypes and people just allowing themselves to be who they need to be and removing the judgment from it. I don't know. Oh, yeah. And then there's the religious ones who are on the other end of that yin-yang. They're the ones throwing stones again. You're not supposed to be gay. You're not supposed to be this. The Bible says so. Well, the Bible also says you can sell your kid into slavery. You going to do that? Bible also said you can kill your neighbor if he plants a certain crop across from yours in the wrong direction or whatever it is. I can't remember what it is. It's something to do with the same seed. Okay? And it wasn't a sin. They just didn't want to cross-pollinate two fucking kinds of weed. Eating a pig is not a sin. They just had something called trichinosis. And when you start to look at the ridiculousness and then you say, wow, so I can sell one of my daughters into slavery? So up to a certain point, when they come for me, I can just take one of my kids and sell them. Bible says so. It's a beautiful time to be alive. It really is. I've got a brother, and I love my big brother, Roy. He's got a huge heart. My sister passed a couple years ago. They were so close. It was so close. And he had 7 weeks notice like we all did. And it just hit him like a freight train. But then over the years, as he's aged, I considered, well, you know, I'm not ashamed of who I am whatsoever. And I have these amazing experiences and I have no problem sharing them with people. But, you know, telling my family I did X, telling my family I've done shrooms or acid. My sister is a Catholic nun. Not exactly, you know. Hey, black sheep. Crispy fried black sheep. That's what I am. I am definitely. I worked at rock stations. Yeah, I mean, believe me. I'm proud that I avoided cocaine. Never did it. Just saw it destroying people. And believe me, it was around me all the fucking time. But I'm more of a weed guy. I'm more of a do some shrooms and chill kind of guy. Though we are going to rock out a little bit tonight. I got some other things to talk about. That's why we're going 3 hours tonight. What was I just talking about? Oh yeah. Maybe Jerry. I just had a blowout at like 38,000 feet. I had a good robe. I had a good one going there. The blow. All right, people, yeah, see? Just give my brain a second. So I have a family that, with my sister Susan passing and my sister Sharon being this beautiful little Catholic nun that wouldn't judge anyone, never has. I mean, she's truly an inspiration from what I would call religion. Very, very few people try to emulate that Jesus guy. And what I mean by emulate is try to do the same things he was reported of doing. You know, live, not necessarily live in poverty, but just don't worry about possession. Do a loving or giving act. Right on that, right on, right, you know, basically look at the examples this guy set. That's my sister. volunteering. You know, my sister's in her late 60s. She's been a nun since she was 13. She is literally a virgin. So to say that I am the other end of that spectrum, exactly. But I've never done it with disrespect. And I've never done it by telling my brothers, I have two brothers and a sister left, that they're right or wrong about what they believe. I've just said, I'm living my life and I've got my own idea of what I'm part of. And I don't need anybody's judgment. Well, unfortunately, as I started to tell my brother, yeah, I've done this and I've done that. You know, he'd raise the old eyebrow. And then a couple of years ago, he just raised it. And let's just say that we all, anytime we need to step outside the paradigm we've been raised in, family, whether that's a wealthy family and you don't care about money, or a religious family and you found yourself, hopefully, at least in my opinion, better a definition of what might be going on, and so on. We all do that. At some level, we all break away. So religion, all the way down to the person, I completely respect. I do. I mean, you know, be who you need to be. That's a healthy thing. It's very healthy. And concentrate on what you're doing versus someone else or someone else's beliefs. And
yeah,
that's my dog farting on the floor. She was just groaning. You all right down there? Coolest thing about doing your own shows. Having your dog lay around your feet during your show. That's awesome. So all the way down to your personal beliefs, good. That's a great thing. And I got your back. I always will, I promise. You know, pray to Barney, pray to Joe Pesci, pray to anybody. I don't care. Who cares? Just be cool. Because if it turns you into something cool, I got your back. If you need to be a preacher, if you need to tell me the, I don't know, 2023rd version of God, which we're going to kind of hit on this book of Revelation tonight and have a good time with. Honestly, you're listening to the wrong show. Okay, this show is about breaking down the paradigm. And the paradigm is control and fear. This is how it always has worked. This is how it's currently working. And the fear isn't about the evil communist financial system coming after capitalism. That one's all faded away, huh? And what's the new fear? Oh, the Muslim religion versus the Christian religion. You don't see this. You don't see them fanning the flames. And 90% of the news stories are all about this. And by the way, wait till you get to part four. This is a great part. We're going to have fun with this. That's why we're going 3 hours. This is it's a fun documentary because each time it mentions one of the four horsemen, it kind of starts out in a good broad way of looking at that specific thing, like, say, pestilence or an antichrist. And then it eventually whittles itself down to the religious version. It talks about preppers. I'll let you know what I think about preppers. We're going to do that because I have more than one opinion about prepping. And I don't think any time in any given time in man's life, to be honest with you, I'm going to play some music tonight, like right here in a second. I don't think any time in any given time frame has the story ever changed. It's always the same. It's either the ascent of an empire or the decline of an empire. Here we go. I'm actually going to play some tunes tonight because we're going 3 hours. And when I come back, well, you know, basically, you know, just watch 300 or watch. It doesn't matter what you watch. Just watch any, you know, watch Cleopatra. Okay, that's the Egyptian Empire. All these movies are about. Way down. But ladies and gentlemen, I am a rocker at heart. When we come back, I'm going to tell you something else that might be going on real soon.
Some of you know me as Mikey Gaga. Some of you know me as Joey Boombatz.
He's crazy. He's a fool, but he's not a liar.
This is not a conversation for children.
Look, I don't think you're crazy. I know you're not a terrorist. I know you're just an ordinary guy who's popped his top. But you must connect with those people out there.
Dangerous conversation.
Conversation on RadioInfluence.com. It is Scott Ledger coming to you live from out on the ledge studios, otherwise known as a bedroom the size, let me see, 15 by 15. It's intimate. That's how you describe it when you're trying to sell the room. Yeah, the bedrooms are intimate. Oh, you mean you could like pull a Jean-Claude Van Damme, put 1 foot there, no, you know? Intimate. Good word. Got to remember that. A couple of things I want to get to here. But let's make sure I got... Okay, good. As I pressed all the wrong buttons. This piece of paper is like... This is part of my brain right now. People always go, dude, I really love your show. I really enjoy... How you try to keep it entertaining, but sometimes you can cover some heavy subjects, and then other times you keep it light. You know, I'm trying to find that balance, and I appreciate that. But they always give me shit because they go, dude, you never say where you were on Facebook. You never say where you are on Twitter. And I'm like, you know what? See, that's what my program director would be going, Ledge, you know, really enjoying the afternoon drive show, playing tunes, putting collars on. Do you think you can fucking say the collars once in a while? So, apparently I haven't been doing that, and I apologize. You know, I'm being text, what do you call that? I'm being chatted by my producer right now. Okay. Jerry, probably closer to 2:15-ish. Okay? I just came in pumped up, you know? It's like you're heading over to the weights, and you're like, dude, you know you can bench it tonight. You know, you've been working, you're 257, you know you can pop 280. Let's do it. And you're like, yeah, man, I can do it. So, you know, then you take the bar off the bench, and then as soon as the spotters stop holding the bar, you feel how fucking heavy it is. So, Jerry, I think it'll be a two-hour show. I was just pumped up, man. because we got a lot of audio to get to. I found this little one-hour documentary. I think it's on the History Channel. And what I had to do is, because I don't have the right connecting cable to connect the television to the mixing board to bring it up that way, I have to mount a second microphone in front of my telly. So it's going to sound all tinny like this, just so you know. Okay? No sweat. Man, that beer's warm. I was supposed to get a beer during the song, but I was rocking out. So here we go. Ledge DC Radio at Twitter. On Twitter, at Ledge, L-E-D-G-E, DC Radio on Twitter. You can type in Dangerous Conversation. It'll take you there. You can type in Ledge. You can type in Scott Ledger. You can type it in like 8 different ways, and it will bring you to me. Now, the interesting thing that I really want to talk about for the first time, because it's always interesting to hear other radio people talk about ratings. I mean, I've been in the business since 1980, and, you know, back then it was Arbitron and Birch. Arbitron sent you a diary for a week, and Birch called you that night on your phone. So Arbitron tried to get your radio listenership over a week using your own memory versus Birch, that said, we're going to call those people that day, ask them what they listened to that day, it'll be fresh in their mind. And Birch's numbers compared to Arbitron's were always skewing younger. Why? Because old people like filling out fucking diaries. Oh, it's time to fill out the diary, John. Now, I woke up at 4:08. And I took a 10-minute shit. No, 20-minute shit. That's why old people's radio stations continually would outrank us on Arbitron. You'll see what I'm getting at in a second. Versus Birch. What's Birch? Diary versus phone. Newer technology. Birch was kicking Arbitron's ass in radio station buys between 18 to 34. That's where the young target demographic is still, by the way. Of course it is. But the stations that were pulling those numbers were the ones that were raking in some money. Though you could, and here's the part about choice, you could, as a radio station, play Birch off of Arbitron or vice versa to keep your rate down and to just only subscribe to one service. Why would you, a rock station, subscribe to Arbitron if Birch is making you look honestly like you're hitting all your numbers? Why would you go to somebody that makes you look bad? And unfortunately, in this sad saga of ratings, Birch didn't make it. And it's a damn shame because I remember getting calls from both. Unlike someone in this market who just loves the idea of, anyway, I'm sorry, I work in media, I can't take your survey, that would be not only illegal, it's immoral. And then they called my ex-wife once, and she said, no, my husband works at a radio station here in town, sorry, no thanks. The methodology is what I'm getting at. The technology is what I'm getting at. The same thing has happened and will happen with almost everything. We're finding out about bullshit that got us into wars. Out and out lies or manipulation. We're finding out about it now. Not because it's on the front page of my newspaper. Because of an internet site or a Facebook page or a tweet. Or a broadcast or podcast where people are calling out anything and everything. It doesn't mean everything is a conspiracy. It doesn't mean that you can absolutely prove without a doubt that chemtrails are happening. But you know what? I love the idea that the argument is taking place. That's what matters. Now, the people that need to be right all the time, you'll be humbled. Believe me, it happens. Stop concentrating on being right. And worry about being accurate. That's where we will evolve. Be accurate. And religion has just not had to do that. at all. We own the book. There's only one book in the village. We wrote it in the language that only we can understand. How else to keep 100 people at bay every day on Sunday, take their money, control their minds, and keep them fearing the words in your book? When you can step back and see the Matrix, that's why I love the first movie, is when he, I guess, resurrects, right? I mean, the only way to look at it is his consciousness overpowered his body. Therefore, his body in the Matrix wasn't dead, and he stood up. And not only did he stand up, he could see both, he could see both realms. He could see the realm of what we call physical in outline, and he could see the digital matrix that makes it up, and that's what we call the quantum field. That's so cool. To be at that level of being understand, or is it? Or can you do it? I can't do it, but I can feel it. And that's called meditation. I can feel my gravity as I sit and quiet my mind. But my mind can float and sense something else. I'm not going to say I've ever heard the voice of God. And by the way, anybody who tells you God is, run away. Anybody who, and cover your wallet. But if someone asks you what your opinion is about what God could be, or what do you think this thing is going on, all that, you know what? Those are good people. They're open-minded. I have friends that are atheist, agnostic, at least 4 or 5 official versions of religions. And I have people that are like me. I use the word spiritual, not because I mean it to be connected to organized religion. It is simply me acknowledging in my version of what's going on that I am more than just my 5 senses plugged into the old meat popsicle, as Joe Rogan likes to say. I have a really good feeling that other things are taking place as well. And in my version, it explains things, you know, like 9-year-olds getting cancer and things like that, okay? So the reason I kind of flock to this realm of hoping to understand a piece of it is because it really is interconnected, and it makes sense, and it's not about ego or, you know, the gods of religion who we're just about to hear about after our next tune. We're going to spend the next hour going through this little TV show about Armageddon or the apocalypse or the Book of Revelation, to be specific. And I found it very good because, again, as I said a few minutes ago, it kind of starts with a broader base term of what it might reference. It tells you, by the way, who wrote these stories and where he was. I bet he was tripping on shrooms. He was in a cave. I bet he was tripping on shrooms. I can't, you know. So, but you will see towards the end that, yes, the things on the front page of your newspaper are also the same things that were mentioned, or at least being, God Christ. Most people agree that's not definition, but the explanation for what they think those words mean. You know, like Russia and Syria and other countries being mentioned and so on and so forth. So the question is it revelation? Now think about this. This is one of the main themes, even before we get to it. Is the Book of Revelation somebody's script? And they're playing it like you'd play a Beethoven symphony, knowing that over 2 billion people know the words of the last chapter of that book. And if you were to play it out, why would you do it? Because you're suicidal? Because you truly want to bring on an Armageddon? Oh, we're going to have some fun. That's why we're going to... God, Jer... Can't you just put it on auto and just walk away and go to bed? I know, I got to get to it. But I always watch whatever I'm going to play in the show. By the way, I always watch at least once so I can get a gist of kind of where it's going. But I have never done a stop and start kind of thing with this. But since it does break for commercials and some of it is a little too fluffy, I got a feeling it's what we're looking at about 8 in front of the hour that we can knock down most of this and maybe go 2 hours and 15 minutes, which we did a couple weeks ago. I wasn't here, of course, last week, and I will be here next week. Why? Because it's fucking 4:20. That's why. It's right in between my trips. I'm going to pure joy at Wani Fest tomorrow morning, and then when we get back later next week, I'm going to be here for 2 days. We're going to do Dangerous Conversation, and then I'm headed to New Orleans to work on a boat and the New Orleans Jazz Festival. Thank you very much. So there's a, I'm going to be a busy boy. I'm going to be a busy boy. So the show is waiting on hold. We'll get to it for a second. But I wanted to you know what I'm going to do? Because I wanted to play a couple break songs tonight. And I'm going to do another one as soon as I explain. And this will actually work better than what we call back selling in the business. I won't be back selling. I'll be front selling. Or will I be back selling? No, I'll be back selling. Sorry. Found a picture today. Put it on Facebook if you follow me. By the way, if you want to follow my personal page, it's Scott with two T's. L-E-G-E-R-E. That's my real name. Not my professional name. It's Legere. It's French. French-Canadian. My parents are frogs. Ledge DC Radio on Twitter. Ledge DC Radio on Twitter. See, I got to get in the habit of doing that. Because I had to do it for so many years, man. Ledge, you know, I liked that last break with that caller, but you didn't, you know, you got to say this. It's like, man, it's like you think it's an art form and you're trying to do a hell of a job, and sometimes you just forget the basics. And instead of them coming in going, that was a great break, they go, that was a great break. But... And right from that point forward, I just go, I'm trying to create an afternoon drive, leaving the fuck alone. La, 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 la. Okay, here's Twisted Sister. Well, that's, now I've got to get back in the habit of at least doing it once in a while because I'm doing my own podcast from my own studio. It is porn star chubby hard to do your own show from your own studio. Seriously. Someday this will be a grown-up show, too. It'll be awesome. People check it out. By the way, where are they? Here they are. I had them written down, and all I can say is, what are we, 2 weeks in April? 2 weeks in April, so this is our fifth month. We started in December with some pretty good numbers. January, we doubled them. February, we went up about another 13%. We went up another 15% last month. And that's the goal. If this show's for you, you'll figure it out. You will. And by the way, guests galore coming, as well as the occasional crew, two or three other people on a mic. I'm kind of segueing into what I'm going to talk about next. Because... You know, I did this show, but I did it under different circumstances because I was at Radio IO and there was a producer and there was a budget. And not only that, I was being compensated for it. So as to do it on my own, you know, I'm worried about making a living elsewhere right now. So it's got to fit in with what I'm doing. And along comes Radio Influence. And I'm like, man, this is great. This is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. So next week, by the way. Yes, I'll be in town. I'll be like arriving Tuesday, leaving Thursday morning. But Wednesday night is, what is Wednesday? It's 4:20. You think I'm not going to do a fucking 4:20 show? On 4:20? On this show? You apparently don't know me well. Excuse me. Ledge DC Radio at Twitter. See, right now, see, this is what I will do. I do this all the time. I would sit in an air check session, and everybody who's ever sat behind a mic knows how they fucking suck. You have to sit down in your program director's office with the door closed. And what happens is every time you turn your mic on or key your mic, a recorder rolls. So it doesn't tape your whole four-hour show. It only tapes you coming out of a song, yakety-yakety-yak, call letters, push the button, whee! Okay? And then it stops recording when you shut your mic off. Well, then you got to remember that if you play a caller, maybe you've recorded a caller, you're going to play them back after the fact. You got to key your mic. And so, remember, we're talking the 80s and 90s here. Everything's recorded on and downloaded on a computer automatically now. Before, if you wanted to bring a sample of your program to your program director, God, I would rather have a fucking root canal. And sit down with your program director, and he's got that pause play button, just like we're gonna dick with this program here in a minute. He's got that pause play. Oh my God. It's like the interrogation light is shining on you and you can't see anything. I don't want to be rude, but so I won't say it's like being waterboarded, but I'll say like it is brutal to sit 3 feet away from your boss and have them ridicule and pick apart your creativity. It sucks. I mean, seriously sucks. So depending on the program director, they would say, you know, I want to have an air check session with you. And they'll go like in a couple of weeks and you're like, okay, you'll forget. You know what? By the time that rolls around, because you're going to have 3 weeks to record every show. And you go, you know what? I fucking nailed it today. That's the one I'm bringing to him. And I bring it and I sit down in front of it and he rips it to shreds. Got empty beers. Can you tell? No, you know what? People go, no, you got something against terrestrial radio. No, I am joking. You do know I exaggerate here, okay? That's what I do. But it was still tough to sit through. It was tough because a lot of performers, you know, and Johnny Depp doesn't go see his own movies. Why? Because he'll pick it to pieces. Instead of just trusting it and putting it out there and letting it travel all the way to Vega and they record it and then they send it back and Jodie Foster gets famous, why can't I just say, fucking Def Leppard rops? No, I can't say that, but So what happens? Sometimes it was a female, or a junior program director. Those are always fun. Yeah, man. Let's listen to one of your shows. Seriously. You see that big toenail? Just grab some pliers and pull that out. And stick it on those hot coals while you're at it. Just right there. Anybody listening to this podcast who's ever worked in radio is nodding going, oh, God, yes. It's about time. What would it be like if we went to program directors and went, oh, by the way, yeah, you know those last three songs you added? They all tanked. Thanks for driving the ship of Her Majesty's Titanic, Captain. How would he feel? How would she feel if every night you went home or once every other week the program director had to sit around and have his entire staff critique his performance? Greg, you know I'm joking about all this. I'm not joking, but yeah, I'm joking. So think about that. I love terrestrial radio days. I love them. I'm going to play this song. I guess we're going to make this an intro here in a second. But a large part of me, and what I just described there, by the way, is a rock jock. First 24 years of my career working at rock stations and interviewing egotistical rock stars and egotistical athletes and finding some very cool down to earth versions of both those people and the memories galore. And every 2 weeks, someone paid me money to do this. And what a ride. What a fucking ride. Just you look back with just pure gratitude. Like, wow, that was fun. And then realizing that my new heroes in radio didn't intro songs cool. They did 25-minute monologues that just, you did not leave your car. Neil Rogers, Bob Lasseter. I remember those guys. I grew up in a small town, and I was lucky enough to pick Tampa as a place I wanted to live and do radio. And do you know how many major market radio stars were launched in this market? Serious. I mean, the Q Morning Zoo originated in this market. Oh, that zoo concept, I'm not, you know, back in the 80s, it was fun and goofy. Now people make fun of it. I get it. But you know what? Can you imagine being the market that spawned Howard Stern? Go, yeah, we, you know, here at DC 101, we finally gave Howard enough room, even though he had to struggle for it, to show us what he could do with a microphone. Well, those people aren't gone. There's some highly motivated people. But the question is, you can't just be a DJ. So I kind of moved away from wanting to be a rock jock or play music. I had done it for a long time. Let's face it, you know, the formats are incredibly limited now, maybe 400, maybe 500 songs in a library, period, per format. Just, you know, let's be honest with it. Instead of being bold and making decisions to expand, they're contracting. So the reason I want to talk about this, because I know this is a religion show, is over the last 6 months of my life, I've really kind of revisited the idea that I am, you know, my roots are in rock radio or music radio. We're turning people on to new acts or new bands. And I kind of miss doing that. So I have got a twofold plan. One is about doing live broadcasts from live clubs while bands are playing. Those conversations are in the early, early stages. And another one is about putting a show in the can, pre-recorded. But with a lot of production, the radio guy in me wants to put a lot of fun in between the songs, that kind of stuff, with what I'll call mini interviews with bands, little 3 and 5 minute phoners, where they actually record their info. Hey, you know, we're named Galaxy. We're out of Missouri. We're a hip-hop rock band. You know, there's five of us, blah, 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 blah. Here's our song, bam. All I got to do is say, send me your song. Send me your little liner. And what I'm going to do is just paste it all together and make it a weekly music show of unsigned bands. And we're not going to do, you know, I would say maybe a country rock as far as we'll go into country and different things, because I'm a rocker. And there's plenty of bands out there. And there's plenty of talent. There's plenty of hip-hop acts. And we'll get into the specifics of it. So basically what I'm missing doing is doing two things, the same thing I used to do. Okay, on one side, exposing people to new music. On the other side, being part of that scene and going out and broadcasting live from rock events here in the Tampa Bay area in specific clubs. Now, that schedule, how often, all of that is going to work itself out. But that is in the works. Early part. Very early part. Because I found myself, I was a rocker, then I wanted to do a lot of talk, and I'm really enjoying this, by the way. And I know DC will be twice a week. You know, you just got to kind of feel it out. You got to, as you relaunch something or trust or try to not necessarily win a new audience, but expose yourself to a new audience. It takes a while, especially now. You know, we don't have the budgets of a Clear Channel or iHeart or whatever they call themselves. So there will be this fall, probably late fall, more like early winter, there'll be the Unsigned Bands show. The name is in the works. We'll figure it out. That shit usually comes to me in the middle of it. Like when you least expect it, that's when you get your inspiration. That's how it works for me, too. So that's in the works. And not sure how many times a month I would be live at a club with a crew. Okay, that might be some of my old crew. That might be some of, I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm at
one place where there are three new bands playing. Everybody in the band is under 30. Everybody that digs the band is under 30. I would still host that night, but I would work with, say, I don't know, maybe some broadcast graduates from local broadcasting schools who are young enough to be in the scene, know the scene, relate the scene. It's not rocket science. I am tired of hearing live and local from radio stations who are still doing national contests. You know, come on, let's face it. What's needed is micro broadcasters. And there's your new future. Okay, you can do a podcast. I do this podcast. I hope it's plugged in around the world and translated in 9 languages someday. And it's ridiculous. And people go, oh, my God, dangerous conversation. You know, if that happens, that happens. But guess what? If not, I'm also going to enjoy once in a while taking this cool new technology of the mobile studio, going to a nightclub, sitting down with an act that's about to go on, broadcasting some of their music, talking to the people that are into their music, and having you be able to connect to it because you couldn't make it that night, or you don't have the budget, or you're a big fan of that band, but you've got to babysit. What do you think people are going to be doing at about 9 o'clock at night? You think they're going to be plugged into the same bullshit so-called reality shows, or are they going to be looking to new media, especially new media in their market to do something special? The reason I talk about this is because I know other radio people listen to the show. Believe me, I do. I hear from them quietly all the time. And it's flattering. It's so flattering. But they get it. They get what's the reason the industry sucks is because these show just like this, a network just like the one you're listening to, is now going, this is how it needs to be done. Hello, wake up, corporatocracy. You know what? You're $20 billion in debt. Get your head out of your ass and figure it out. It's not going to happen. So the best part of all of this, if you've never heard of Randy Rhoads, it doesn't matter. I'm not Ozzy's guitarist, the other Randy Rhoads, the broadcaster. It's when we got Broadcaster of the Year in 1986. She leans liberal. Okay, I don't really care too much about her politics, but the woman is incredibly talented. Worked for Air America, worked for several networks. You've probably seen her. Okay, guess what? She just did a crowdfund. She's good to go. She's back, and guess what? She's got nobody auditing her or editing her in any way. And that's cool. When the talent comes from one venue to the next, because A, most of the time they've been kicked out, but B, they can actually see the future, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. And I get quiet little IMs on Facebook, mostly, some on Twitter, but mostly Facebook, because you have to follow me on Twitter to be able, you know, that thing. But I hear from a lot of radio people, A, in this market and also outside this market, going, dude, checking out your podcast. Keep up the great work. Wish I could say that shit too. Seriously. Now, these are people I've worked with and people I've worked against. Okay, both in this market. And people that were in this market that kind of left, and you know, in many, many markets that I know over from 1980 to now, believe me, I've worked with hundreds of people. And a lot of them have checked out the show. And they're like, wouldn't it be cool if you could be on terrestrial radio? I go, no, because I'd have to edit in my mind every single word before I said it. I couldn't just walk up to the microphone and go, listen, if you cannot see the holes in the official 9/11 story, don't listen to me. Go away. If I were to say that on terrestrial radio, you can't say that to your audience. Oh, sure you can. Because if you want to be honest with people, you're supposed to be the media. You're supposed to be the link between them being stupid or informed. That's your link. That's what you are. You're the purveyor of information. That's what media needs to be. This is how I started with a monologue tonight. Well, what makes you think religion's any different? Religion is the same thing. Control the message, control the people. But guess what? The internet is now blowing holes through a lot of those old books. A lot of wisdom in those books. A lot of some love and wonderful examples in those books. But there's also, you know, go to war and jihad and sell your kid into slavery. And so why don't we visit? We're going to play a song here in a sec. And then why don't we come back and visit the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse? That's right. Didn't you guys open for, like, Spinal Tap? The Four Horsemen? Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. All right. You know what? I think this, even the name of this band, and by the way, I used to do something called the Cruising Tune. And that's from 1990 to 97. I realized that after 5 o'clock, most people were in their vehicles. And if you gave them about 5 to 8 minutes to get out of their parking lot and get to where they were going, technically they were cruising. Now, traffic aside, I had the sexy little cop say, hey, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is the Cruising Tune. So we're going to play a little left. This is because I'm going to be back in a rock club probably, I don't know, 3-4 months from now, getting a chance to interview a new band, an old band, and kind of getting back to my roots. And who knows, maybe that show's going to end up right here at Radio Influence. Walking into the kitchen to get a beer, and I'm like, man, that song sounds familiar. It's because you just played it about 45 minutes ago, dickhead. I'm sorry. It was supposed to, yeah, I pressed the wrong button. Oh, man. That sucks. It sucks. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We'll be right back. Listening to DC.
This is Abby Martin from RTTV Media Roots Project Censored. And you're listening to Dangerous Conversations.
This is real radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Adam Armstrong from Rebel Inc. And you're listening to Dangerous Conversations.
Here's Ledge.
Hey, this is Chuck from Iowa. You're listening to Dangerous Conversations with the Ledge. And I'm almost high as a chemtrail.
Yeah. Here's Scott Ledger.
Dangerous Conversation on April 13th, live show. I love doing live radio. People go like, why don't you just record it and just send it to them? I'm like, no, I feel people. I mean, I feel them. I don't care if it's two. Honestly, I don't, you know. And then people go, do you ever look at your numbers? I go, why? Would it change anything I say if I was talking to two people or 200? I hope not. So that's the whole idea of not worrying about numbers or audience, is having the freedom to be. My new definition, I'm having a t-shirt made. I am a professional thought provoker. Don't like it? Don't listen. And if you don't feel like thinking, good. Head back to whatever it is you're binge watching. I'm sure your IQ points are dropping as we speak. So, one of my favorite bands, The Cult. The Cult. Hey, Ledge is playing songs about by The Cult because he's... No, you know what? I didn't have the foresight to see that. Okay. I mentioned earlier that I didn't have the right connecting cable to connect this small little Sylvania television that I watch. It's in my studio. It's to the right of my laptop. To the left of that is our send computer that I send this signal to our radio influence home headquarters, and I also have a Skype open there and some other things. And over here to my left is the electronics for the studio, including a couple of nice pieces of equipment that aren't exactly cheap. And then my mixer's behind me, and so I got a little L in front of me. If you haven't seen the pictures, go look. But the whole idea is this is out on the Ledge Studios. I don't have to say call letters. I don't have to worry about a sponsor. I don't have to worry about those things. And the numbers are growing. They're really doing well. All I want to see is growth in, you know, do somebody a favor. Do me a favor. Share the link with somebody. Just go, dude, check out the show. Check out this 2 hours or check out that. That's how I, excuse me, that's how you grow an audience, man. And that's what I'm up to. All right, cool? Cool. All right, so I got to test this. All right, that means this mic needs to be on. That's turned down. So I'm going to play the television over to my right. The speaker's there, but I have a microphone in front of the speaker. Then I have that microphone turned. I want to hear the volume. Here we go. Here we go. Should be coming up.
Access.
Here we go.
The ship's secure weapons hold.
So, yeah, you have all the controlled goods.
one rank for each company, you know? All the rifles are well protected. Browning bar, 308, semi-automatic.
Okay, so I got a speaker, you know?
Compliance is to have the ammunition separate.
Okay, what they're showing there, I love this pause, is they're actually showing somebody's got a bunker. And this guy doesn't have a bunker for him and just a few people. This guy's bunker, this prepper, is a small army worth of pretty much everything, from weapons to ammo. What I like about this program, and obviously they're speaking in French, so I got to let you know what's going on, but you will see, if you just look for the fear thread line that runs through all of it, that you had better keep doing what you're doing or else, or this has already happened. And we'll get to whether you think it's a script or not on Twitter after the show. I'm not going to stay after the show, but please share your opinion with me. Because there are one or two scenarios here. Okay, either this book is absolutely right in predicting things, or some very smart, intelligent, powerful people are using the book as a script because they realize 2 billion people know the script, so if they recognize the script, they'll just march right along like they're supposed to when they go to bed at night. Don't worry, Jesus is coming, baby. Do you realize 40% of Americans think in, I think they said, the next two lifetimes, so we'll call that the next 25 to 50 years, that Jesus is coming back? 40% of America think that? Now, if you need to think that, that's okay, but I'm not the show for you. Because the guy that's coming back is coming back to kick ass. Okay, that, you know, loving, forgiving, empathetic, unconditional, loving example of God in the flesh. In other words, the perfect Jesus is coming back to kick ass? I don't get it. So that's how we get there. Fear. It is the underlying theme of where, that's why we're, it's 9:20. We're going to do probably 5 to 7, 7 times 4 is 28. Yeah, maybe 15 minutes past, Jerry. That's it. I want to get to some of this audio, but I'll forgive me if I have to explain what's going on, because it's a television show. It's certainly visual in nature. This is a man showing off his ammo supply inside his pod, and I do have the best part of all of this.
Separate.
The remote.
Is the 308 caliber.
Sure, 308, okay.
Every single items are tracked and listed. If one rifle is missing, there is something very wrong.
There we go. This does not look like the same one. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Delivers.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know why it didn't sound familiar? Because I hit next event. Okay, let me see how quick I can do this. Source. Recordings. There we go. Playlist. And then we come down, and I think it's called The Apocalypse, or The Fun Entertaining Ride at the End of the Bible. It was a fun watch. I'm not kidding. I was like watching. I was like, man, this is something that is on everybody's brain. Oh, please tell me I didn't delete it. That would make for a very disappointing moment in my life. Oh, boy. Who's recording all these movies? Oh, yeah, me. Okay. I know it's here somewhere. I know. I found it by accident. Well, there's Caddyshack and The Godfather Epic. We'll have those on standby just in case Scott can't find the religious show he's been referring to. Freaking show. Hang on, it's coming. Oh man, I'm feeling bad now. We're way back into David Blaine's. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way I'd record. You know what? You know what I love about remotes is the arrow pointing in the other direction gives you a. It's kind of like getting a reprieve from the governor. You're about to get executed because, like, holy shit, did I just erase the entire program I've been talking about? Or did me and my tiny little brain skip by it? I'm enjoying a frosty beverage. Hang on a second here. Okay, there's The Godfather Epic and Caddyshack. Shooter. Great movie, by the way. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Mark Wahlberg gets set up by the government. Go figure. X-Files, all six shows. I prefer if they want a larger audience, they should actually delve into more truth. You know, they'll go like, oh yeah, 9/11 was a spot. Then they go, oh yeah, and the lizard people did it. And I'm like, you see? That's how they save themselves from being able to just say something out loud in the middle of a script. I can't believe it's been relayed. Please. Oh, you know what? God doesn't want me to do this show. Holy crap. This Dewey Cox story. I could do that one. We could do that movie too. Hellboy on backup. Ant-Man. Saw that yesterday. It was for kids. Except the quantum thing. They did do where he shrunk himself down into the quantum level. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Banksy does New York. Holy shit. There is no way. You know what? The government's listening. And they knew I had it on pause. I'm going back down. Can you tell I'm still stalling for time here? Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and just do the alphabetical part of the Bible and say anybody from A to Z. Super Bad. That's a fun movie, too. Predator. Oh, it's got to be here. Religious. You know what? That's my plan B right there. That's Bill Maher. If you haven't seen that documentary, please watch it. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything Billy Boy says. I can't believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, it was right there. It was at my fingertips. Shooter, The Maze Runner, Caddyshack, Godfather, Enter the Dragon, The Pyramid. Oh, I haven't seen The Pyramid. Is that that's probably a dangerous conversation worthy, right? Oh, my God. Oh, there it is. There it is. Countdown to the Apocalypse. It was dark. All the other ones were lit up. You know, I've never been so happy to press an enter button in my life. Resume. Oh, man, this is okay, it's the very beginning. Oh, by the way, it says, this program contains theories concerning the end of life on Earth as we know it. I'm waiting for an REM reference. While just theories, some material may be disturbing to certain audiences, viewer discretion advised. And if you're at Forrest Gump's level, go somewhere else. Here we go. Showing the Holy Bible.
Nearly 2,000 years, the Book of Revelation has stood as the New Testament's blueprint of doom.
The book of Revelation it's kind of bright. Really an outline for the end of the world.
It's the great gory scenario of the battle between good and evil.
Revelation foretells the coming of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, heralding the end of days on earth.
Didn't they play for the Packers? Oh, come on, you know that was coming.
We will see the arrival of an evil leader, or Antichrist.
He's the best con man there ever was.
Disease.
Plagues will kill a quarter of the world's population.
Famine.
People are going to start going hungry. These will last about 25 years.
That's Prepper.
Global war leading to our last judgment.
There we go. It just showed remember Duck and Cover? See, I'm old enough to remember Duck and Cover. We had to fear the Russians and the nuclear scare. You're going to see there's a theme in what's going on as we... Yeah, as we mess with this, and that theme hasn't changed for literally thousands and thousands of years. How do you control people? You keep them separated. This is what organized religion does, and it does it knowingly. Sorry, but it does. Because if it didn't know it knowingly, it would be changing. They'd be reaching out across voids of separation and uniting a Christian or a Muslim instead of them looking at each other as pure enemy. None of what's going on is accidental. The question is it actual revelation or is it simply very smart, powerful people playing out a script to a bunch of marionettes who already know the script? Third time I've said it tonight. And we'll sit there
and go, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, if you look at the book of Revelation, I'm thinking to myself, well, a few billion people know that book. So if I was powerful and I wanted to, so what would I do? And the light bulb doesn't go off. And I wait and I look at them. I tip my head sidelight like my chocolate lab does when I say you want to go for S-W-I-M. I have to spell. Sorry. So that's why we're doing about, I don't know what that is, but I bet it's maybe important. Let's let this play for a little while. The audio sounds good. I'm sorry it's a little bright. I'm going to see if I can throw in some more bass here in the bottom end. I'm going to let this one play for a little while because this is the setup of all the fear, of course. And then we're going to do a little of one. I'm sorry. We're going to do most of one, a little bit of two and three, and then most of four. Okay, here we go.
The War of Armageddon will take us to a primal world of violence, blood, decimation, and nuclear warfare.
As science and prophecy collide.
We could have another pandemic tomorrow.
There are many scenarios that could turn things bad very quickly.
Concerned citizens are preparing.
I've got a medical surgical kit here. And again, the Bible talks about this.
Integrate. See, if you are a Bible person and you look to the book of Revelation and you're sitting in a bar and you open it up on your iPhone and you go, look, and then, you know, mentions, and you'll see some of the things they mention in the actual book of Revelation are taking place today. So, should I ask the question four times? You see where I'm going with this? That's why we're going to let it play for a little while. Be back.
Beginning, Revelation is the end of the world.
This is Countdown to Apocalypse. Every Sunday around the Christian world, church pews reverberate with the dark end times prophecy of the book of Revelation. The last and most explosive book of the New Testament.
When we see the end of times in the Revelation of John, we see the forces of evil, the devil, and the forces of good, the creator, the sanctifier, the giver of all life in the name of Jesus.
The book of Revelation has a profound appeal whether or not you're a believer. It's the great gory scenario of the battle between good and evil that has shaped everyone's consciousness about what the end times will be.
The book of Revelation has introduced the world to the concepts of Armageddon, the mark of the...
Armageddon. You think I played Def Leppard by mistake tonight? By the way, they're showing a tattoo. A woman has a 666 on her left shoulder.
Beast. And a word that's become synonymous with the end of the world itself. Apocalypse.
The word apocalypse, people associate it with the end times and judgment. But really, it's a transliteration of a Greek word that means the revealing, the revelation.
The book of Revelation was written by John the Revelator during a time of imperial persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire around AD 96.
See, the best part of any documentary is learning the actual history of the words. People quote it all the time. But if you go back to the time that it was written, you have to take all of the politics of the time into consideration. This is why people, certain scholars, I think it's Dominic Hasek. Oh, he wrote a long book. I mean, about halfway through, about 600 pages, where he just, the historical Jesus. Versus the one the Bible gives you. In other words, if you were to go back 2,000 years and live in that time, and what would people actually look like, and what would they dress like, and how would they talk, and what would be the customs, and what were the Romans' role, and so on and so on and so forth. This is why Monty Python spoofed it in Life of Brian. Just to show you that it's just how easy it is for a story to simply get misdirected by anyone, any time, for any purpose. Not just corruption or control, but just, you ever play the telephone game in fifth grade? John walked his crazy black dog across the street and saw a red light. And then, of course, you have to say it in each person's ear, and it goes on, and by the time it gets to the other person, yes. Well, that is the same thing that would happen in generations until words were invented. So it shows you that any time anyone writes anything about any god or not god or goddesses, you have to consider the actual timeline and the people and the intellect and the lack of... They didn't even know what stars were. Okay? They didn't even know what you and I now know as simple common knowledge. They had no idea. So how much of it is fable? And how much of it is kind of like David Letterman used to do, embellish? Remember? He used to give someone a story and then they'd have to embellish it. Well, how much of all of these God's words that we keep getting are about, I don't know, unity, togetherness, sameness, you know, we're all floating on a rock, that kind of thing, versus, oh, we're under the yoke of the Romans, and this is going to happen, and God's going to breathe down fire. Again, just always remember, because I'm going to press play here, and you're going to hear what they say, that all these words are written down before you and I, or any a generation, let me see, 1, 2, 3, probably what, 15, 20 generations? Maybe more like 15? That's ridiculous. How many times can a story change? How many times can a page get ripped out and someone go, oh, shit. Write something. Can you imagine that happening? Someone accidentally just tears a page out of the Bible because they're on the shitter and they ran out of toilet paper. And then they are like, oh my God, write something. That's a good Saturday Night Live bit, by the way. You're welcome. All right, here we go.
Toward the end of the reign of the Emperor Domitian.
The first decades after Jesus' crucifixion were a time of grave danger for the early Christians. Many were forced to flee their homes or risk death.
John wrote the book of Revelation after he was exiled to a cave in Patmos, Greece. He spent 2 years in the cave, saw some really hoary visions, put them all together.
Okay. The man was exiled. He was under occupation. When he refers to the great Satan or the great evil in the West or the East, might he not be just referring to the company, the country that just sacked his? See, this is why people, they want to look to that book as the magic part of what we would call salvation or life after death. But they're afraid to look at the actual history of who assembled the book, what were the politics, who was the leader, what other religions were up against it or melded into it, the actual history of the construction of a religion. Not just some magic book that falls out of the sky. And this is what the internet is now bringing us, where we know the history of a book, not just what it says, but we know how it came to be. That, my friends, is what this show is all about. Here we go. Can you hear the AC? I gotta shut the door.
While the power of John the Revelator's vision is beyond dispute, the writer's true intention has been forever shrouded in mystery. Whether originally meant as prophecy or allegory, to millions around the world, Revelation stands today as a divinely inspired roadmap for the end of days.
The book of Revelation conveys exactly what's going to happen to the world in stages in the end times.
To kick off these last days on earth, Revelation states that Jesus Christ will open a series of seals, unleashing the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The arrival of each of these horsemen will bring forth a unique and horrible judgment upon mankind that few will survive.
There would be destruction. There will be plagues. There will be wars. There will become a time of tribulation like has never been before and will never be again since.
And it all begins with the arrival of the white horse.
In Revelation chapter 6, the Lord himself commands from heaven that this whole thing starts.
Thank you.
it's fun, doesn't it? Have you seen the Omen movies, by the way? Check them out. The first one was what? Early 70s? Have you seen The Seventh Sign? Michael Biehn, Demi Moore. Fun little ride. What was the one that was on the other day on cable? Schwarzenegger. End of Times? Have you seen these movies? They perpetuate the script. So if someone's a believer and they read a book and they believe what's going to take place, and then they go see a movie that validates that, and then the things start taking place in the Middle East, and the script just seems to be falling into place. What do you think a billion people, they're going to sit back and they're going to let it happen because they're like, oh, well, yeah, Jesus is coming. This is all supposed to happen. You want to control the masses? That's how you do it. Right there. Not only just make them afraid early that if they stray, they're doomed, but also validate their thoughts. What they're already thinking is all you have to do. People say, oh, no, the Antichrist is coming to power, Ledge, and this is all. No. Very rich, very powerful people in control of tremendous media outreach are using a script to sucker almost. Well, let me see. 7.5 billion. There's, I think it's 1.1 billion Christians. Or is it that just Catholics? You know, let me Google that while I play some more of this. So we'll just assume, we'll just say 1.5 billion Christians, 1.5 billion Muslims. Okay? That's 3 billion. 7.5 billion on them. That's almost 50%. Of the world's population is attached to two storylines. And they both know it because it's some of it's in the same book as theirs, or some of their book is in the other ones. And so, by the way, same thing with the Talmud, the same thing. All, you know, that's why they call it Judeo-Christian. Okay, these things meld together. Okay, the New Testament is the validation of the Old Testament. That's how it works. This will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and bam, now you got a New Testament going, yeah, all that has been predicted will take place. Well, if you were writing Star Wars Part 1, what the fuck would you write? Of course you'd write a sequel. Do you realize that that old-ass book controlled millions of people? I know, dude. We could just... What are you going to do? We're going to write a part two. What the fuck you think we're going to do? Well, yeah, but we're conquering their lands. They don't like us. Well, we'll tell them to turn the cheek. We'll tell them this dude told... Whoever takes into account when these books were written and what was going on at the given time, just like you do now. See, right now you do. You're like, oh, yeah, there was famine in the apocalypse, and this was going to eat. Believe me, if I needed to control a lot of people and I knew they were expecting certain things to happen, what do you think I'd make happen? You think I'd go off script? This is why these kind of shows will give you a little bit of at least inquiry into, well, this could have meant this or could have meant that. But for the most part, wait till we get to the end. I told you I got to go late, Jerry. Sometimes you just got to say things. And that's tonight. And I'm sorry we're going late, Jer. I know, brother. He's so cool. I call him the Octopus. He's the ultimate multitasking producer. Much like many of us. Career redirected. And we have the same dream. And he's a great guy. I really appreciate it. All right, let's let it roll some more here. This is, and by the way, I'll just be fast-forwarding through commercials and stuff. So we're going to take this hour program and bring it down to about 28 minutes. Here we go.
I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest.
Rider on the white horse represents the Antichrist, the world charismatic political leader.
Scripture says he'll be the absolute deceiver,
the father of all lies,
and he will deceive the entire world into thinking otherwise.
The emerging Antichrist's first step will be to unite the planet under his reign.
You'll see the Antichrist taking over planet Earth, a one-world government, a one-world economic system, a one-world religion.
Okay, let me pause it there. You have to remember that a lot of shows that step outside the paradigm of, you know, left and right and all that, they're not afraid to say, you know what, a lot of people got together a long time ago and had a plan. And then, you know, just all you got to do is watch the intro. Is it Fabled Enemies? Jason Burmes? Just watch the intro of Fabled Enemies. And you will hear politicians all over the world from when it originally was spoken, I'll get to that in a second, to, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, no, more than that, because Clinton used it, the phrase New World Order. New World Order. Now, of course, that phrase was first uttered by who? Class, if you listen to this show, they're all going, Ledge, I know, man, I know, I'm going to Skype you. No. George Bush Sr. talking to the he did have the green marble behind him. So, he was talking to the United Nations. Or was he? No. I take it back. He was addressing Congress. 1,000 points of light, New World Order. That speech, guess when it took place? Exactly 10 years before 9/11. September 11th of 1991. First time a New World Order was ever mentioned, exactly 10 years later, the expansion of the New World Order takes place. Do you think these people don't know a script when they see one? Now, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to listen, if we don't do all this tonight, honestly, this is fun to do, but I like taking time to break it down. I am not a guy that likes to rush the flow. It's like a song. You just got to let it happen. I learned that. It's awesome when it does. And thank you for your patience. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to guarantee. No, you know what? We're going to do another 30 minutes. And the reason I say that is next Wednesday, I will be back to do the show, but it's 4:20. So that show is all cannabis and hemp related. Okay, cool. All right. So let me, I got to hit play and then back it up. I got to back it up right to there. I'm sorry.
Political leader.
Let me see. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. This could be rough.
As a conqueror bent on conquest.
Okay, here we go. Yes.
The rider on the white horse represents the Antichrist, the world charismatic political leader.
Scripture says he'll be the absolute deceiver,
the father of all lies,
and he will deceive the entire world into thinking otherwise.
The emerging Antichrist's first step will be to unite the planet under his reign.
You'll see the Antichrist taking over planet Earth, a one-world government, a one-world economic system, a one-world religion.
Okay. This is what people fear right now. Why? Because the people that are running the script and they want to keep everyone going, oh, I told you, this is what they want. Now, the other side of that coin, there's some truth to that. The dollar is a fractionary banking. It's basically a mathematical equation. It starts at zero. It gets to a dollar. It goes through zero. Okay? It is impossible for it to last mathematically. Okay? That's how it works. So there's a time clock on the collapse of the dollar. But they can control that by shifting wealth and moving. And so what this collapse, I hear this fucking word all the time, collapse. What's more, look up. Oh, the building's collapsing. The sky is falling.
They use this shit over and over. Oh, yeah, you know, this 2008 collapse was predicted. You know what? You don't think that very powerful people can pop a bubble like they did with the real estate bubble, like they did with the dot-com bubble? You don't think that this can be timed? You don't see, it's not revelation taking place. It's a script of a movie, and it is a beautiful symphony of how they are playing our asses. They are playing us. The voting machines can be hacked in 5 minutes in this country. MIT did it. I'm not one to say that money should be redistributed, but I am understanding that money isn't real and energy is. And when any village and every village can produce their own clean water and sunlight generated energy or one of the many possibilities that's coming up, they don't need to be part of your little new world order. Thinking you can control everything and everyone is a pipe dream. But the only people that live that pipe dream are egomaniacs. And those egomaniacs have tremendous power. And what they're doing is they're playing the script because they know lots of people are scared, have been scared, and the best way to keep them scared is to talk about disease and pestilence and war and famine and play us like a fucking fiddle. Or you can see through it and just go, oh, yeah. What do you think powerful people are going to do? What do you think? What would you do if you were hooked on your power and all you could want was more power and the only way to have more power, once you could print your own money, where do you go from there? When you could print your own money, that's a pretty good drug. Well, where do you go from there? Oh, I want to control countries. I want to control economies. I want to control. So how do you get a bunch of people to just, you know, open their mouth and drool and go, yeah, Jesus is coming back, man.
With Europe united and globalization reshaping our political world, are these times already approaching?
I think it's important that people understand that this idea of a one-world government is not far off. The one-world government and the one-world economic system is literally being assembled before our very eyes. And you and I in our lifetime are going to see a world currency and a global government.
That might go to commercial. I think it might happen. Well, obviously, they're working at this. I mean, they want a cashless society. They want everything on the chip. Remember, chips flow two ways. You know, your information, your bank account, oh, just put your chip in there. Well, pretty soon that chip's going to have everything on it, and it won't have to be under your skin. You'll be carrying three chips in your credit cards and one inside your phone. They will know they can GPS your ass anytime they want to, whether you've downloaded it or not, because your phone is constantly sending a signal and pinging off towers. Anybody can track anybody if their cell phone is on. So what do they do? Okay, they can let all information flow to you and let you make up your own mind because you now have three devices and a phone and everything and a laptop and a tablet and a desktop. And you know what? You could click Google and you know what? Here's what they're going to do. You know what? 50% of the people on this planet essentially believe in one of three religions. Let's just play out the script. Why not? It's a great idea. Why? Because when they go to bed at night and they're worried about dying, and our religion is their salvation, well, now we can tell them, Syria is, and you go back to the PNOC document in 2000, and you go, oh, we want to expand our military, we want to put military bases in the Middle East, we want to, all the way to, you know, okay, well, what does that mean? It means I can control Syria, I can control Libya. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means we can have it play out the exact same time that this book of Revelation says it's going to happen. Man, they are so playing us.
And, you know, I go back and forth. I have friends that are I have new media people out there doing their own thing. And good for you guys. You're all doing great shows. It's awesome. You know, let me talk about prepping for a second. There's a guy that does a prepping show. And I would say he's relatively Christian. And he's put some things out there that were a little bit borderline judgmental of, you know. And I realized that he's a prepper. Well, you know, up to about 100 years ago, you had to prep, okay? That's what canning fruit and vegetables came from. What do you think? There was a supermarket in the middle of a desert in Wyoming? You had better grow some shit and save it. The preppers didn't exist. People dug their own wells and got their own fresh water and grew their own food. There was no such thing as a prepper. A prepper is the returning to the idea of balance. Grow a garden. Maybe harvest some sunlight. Maybe you get a rain barrel. Ooh, you're a real rebel. So prepper can be used as the same way they can say conspiracy. Oh, you're a prepper. Conspiracy theorist. You know those people? And by the way, the preppers that are prepping for these assholes that are playing out the script, it's not going to happen. Because I always pose this question. And this is, okay, I think of cause and effect. I think of outcome. Okay. Let's say they crash all world markets and they launch two nuclear missiles and they take out some small cities and some third world countries. What do you think the rest of the world's going to do? Sit around and go, oh, you guys need to contact each other and get together because it looks like you've killed a lot of each other and you should really read. We're going to want their heads on a platter. And guess who's the face of that? Politicians and religious leaders. Oh, so how do they keep you afraid? They keep you afraid. Oh, you know, yeah, Iran's going to get a nuke. They're going to take out Israel and North Korea's blah, 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 blah. There have been two nuclear devices used. They were both in World War II. They were used on Japan. No one has had the audacity to even think about using another one again, realizing that no matter what they did or who they took out or who the fuck they bombed, they were dead. No one's going to sit around and allow anyone to use a nuclear anything and then continue on their happy world. So powerful people use the threat of annihilation to control you. And now a lot of you are afraid of Muslims. And you think they're going to burn. Yeah. The Red Scare. The Russians invaded Afghanistan. It took them 10 years to realize. No matter how many minerals or how much fucking poppy you can grow there, it ain't worth it. They left. Because these people are driven by, they don't have anything. They don't have a Mitsubishi in the driveway. All they have is this book and this belief in Muhammad. And if they die and they die, so be it. You can't change an ideal and you can't bomb it out of people. It didn't work in Vietnam, and it's not going to work now, but yeah, you can still grow your poppies and distribute heroin across our country. Preppers, if you're pumping fear into people on your program or anything like that, and there are people that do that now, so they can sell fear, they are no different than the people they're pointing out as evil or bad. In other words, the government's using fear to control us and to keep us from really evolving, not just as societies and ideas and diversity of existence. That means both sexually and all the things that are busting out. These are things you can't hold back. They're going to take place, and that's a great thing. But the whole idea of them
controlling thought is it's at the end. It is. I'm 55. My generation is relatively aware. The generation after me is very aware. And the generation right after them are so technically inclined that their brain expansion, like in the movie Lucy, might actually be connected to their ability to, you know, like in Lucy, where she's using the computer at an amazing speed and she's just absorbing the information. I don't know how that works, but I know we can go in two directions. We can head back to the Stone Age and fear and darkness and, you know, and all that. Or we can actually evolve. And again, like I said twice in the show already, religion will not let us evolve because it's going to keep us separated and afraid of another religion. All right, I think this is that commercial, but let me check. I'm pretty sure it is. And
there'll be a one.
Yep. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They're talking about
one-world authoritarian system that won't look too bad initially, but then after 3.5 years, the Antichrist will reveal himself as the devil.
But how is it that mankind will be so easily seduced? According to believers, the rise of the Antichrist will be sped along by deterioration in global conditions, leaving us powerless to resist.
The Antichrist must create a need for his appearance. And he's doing that by means of his human agents, by crashing the global economy, killing the dollar, making everyone desperate.
Isn't it funny how he just threw killing the dollar in there? Like, don't get me wrong, it is the world's currency. Sort of still. Sort of. I mean, you know, China has over a few trillion of our debt, so basically they're holding paper, and they know that. But since we buy so much of their shit, this whole idea of a global economy is teetering. I get that. What preppers are prepping for is if they don't all work together to save their own asses, kind of like in The Godfather, instead of killing each other, why don't we have the five families get together? And that's what you have. Do you think Bilderberg is about a bunch of people fighting over the earth? Or do you think it's about them making sure everyone's in line and in step and realizes the ultimate plan isn't about you or anybody else? It's about all of us and this global achievement. And that's what Bilderberg is about. And they, again, anybody who realizes that a religious book controls, not controls, but implants an idea of end times into billions of people realizes it can use the effect of, well, the end times are coming, man. We better get along, or we better do this, or we better. In other words, you want to control a lot of people? Make them afraid to die. Bottom line, just make them afraid to die. Holy crap, you know, this devil's coming, all that crap. Or, like this. Hang on a sec. I'm sorry, wrong button. Here we go.
In December 2007, the world entered an economic spiral that has come to be called the Great Recession, with financial calamities like bank bailouts, housing bubbles, and the European sovereign debt crisis. Some believe the stage has been set for the Antichrist's arrival.
Or people that have the script are going, oh, man, we need the rise of this country. We need the fall of this country. Well, that's pretty easy to do. Let's move our investments over here. Bling, bling, bloom. Suddenly the market of that country collapses, and people go, oh, it's a revelation, dude. Can you imagine having a script and having all the little five-year-olds in your first grade class know the script and tell them, okay, then what happens? Then what happens? That is the beauty. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like it any more than you do. But that is the beauty in being able to step back and see the Matrix and how the maestros are, they're not just playing a country. They're playing the world against itself
in various levels. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's energy, sometimes it's a political so-called changing, you know, the Arab Spring and all these fucking things we hear about all the time. What do you think that is? That is the people that can crush an economy in any country anytime they want, telling that president, dictator, whoever, here's what you're going to do. That's power. And if enough of us could rip ourselves away from the fear created by religion and the separation created by organized religion, I should make sure I keep saying that, and the whole idea of look at the crowds, look at the posts, just go to social media and look at the Islamic fear that wasn't even there 5 years ago in our country. It wasn't even there. Then you go back to the 80s, and what was it? It was the Red Scare and the communists. And all the way back to World War II, it was the fascists. They play us like a fiddle.
People set the stage with economic collapse, with food shortages, with war and rumors of war, with every kind of disorder and chaos imaginable.
And in this time of global despair, this charismatic leader will give people hope.
The Antichrist will have a supernatural ability to win people over.
Do you think this Antichrist is a person or a ultimate goal? In other words, let's say the control of money, thoughts, information, reproduction. You could decide all the way to who could be allowed to reproduce, who doesn't, food production. In other words, total control of the globe. Well, go back and look at PNAC and ask yourself, what is that goal? They go all the way to controlling outer space with their laser beams. These are sick fucking people. And the reason those people are so sick is because they have so much wealth and power. They've got a big black empty hole in them. And no matter how much power, how much control, how much they get what they want when they want it, they can't fill that void. Now, since I do what I do and I let it flow, I wanted to do all four parts of this four horsemen thing, but I'm going to jump to four because I only want to go for about another 15 minutes. And you will see basically, by the way, two and three, you know what they are? They're about disease and pestilence and everything from the flu to the Black Plague. And they go, oh, yeah, see, the Revelations predicted this. And they go right on down and say that just because influenza killed several million people, that's part of an actual reality that is absolutely going to take place no matter what we think or how we act. And that's what control is. When you control people speaking out, when you control people going, wait a minute, I've got an issue with this. When you control any free thought, that is the ultimate control. So I'm going to hit play.
To get people.
Now what I'm going to do is fast forward, and let me see. Yeah, I'm going to narrate it. Going real fast. Went through Hitler. Oh, there's an Alka-Seltzer commercial. Now they're showing the cops. Now they're showing another commercial. It looks like a foot sole insert. There's some dogs. There's some dog food. There's a kid. There's a woman. There's a phone number coming back. All right, we're back into it now. We're showing another prepper. And then we're showing, oh, by the way, just let me pause there real quick.
Be insecure. We are experiencing...
They are showing people protesting the actual...
Hang on a sec.
Money system, tax system, and money in politics. That's not in Revelation. See, the point I want to make there is the free thinkers are going, we can do way better than this. This isn't destined to happen. This, are you kidding me? Do you know how many smart people there are in the world and engineers and designers? We could design and engineer ourselves right out of everything. But the people that have been in control for a long time, they don't want that. Guess who just went bankrupt yesterday? The largest private ownership of coal mines in America. Boo hoo. You've had your day. You're like a retired athlete. Go away. The beauty of change is being able to be alive as it takes place. This is an amazing time to be alive. This is seriously where anyone can broadcast. Anyone can communicate a thought. Good, bad, indifferent, Twitter, you know, tough guys, whatever. Pissed off at your mom living in your basement, all the way to the most intellectual people in the world being put in their place. Or superficial people. Or judgmental people. I love how it's playing out. Put some hate out there and watch what happens. That's how it worked at the bus stop when I was a kid. People stand up to bullies eventually. What do you think's happening in social media? Everyone gets a right to, hey, type what you want. It's your keyboard. But you had better have a nice thick jaw because you're an idiot and an asshole and you're ignorant and people are going to slay you on this thing. But you're going to learn. You're going to evolve. You will have the opportunity to learn and evolve. The rest is up to you. All right, so this is part two. What I wanted to mention is they are showing people protesting the framework of the system, which, of course, is money. Okay? Just so you know. I'm going to fast forward through that. I want to get to the juicy parts, which I think they even call the juicy parts. Okay, we're back to commercial. They're selling me some software I don't need, though. They do make an interesting pitch team. And now we have, okay, yes, we're into part two and a half. And this is where they're showing inoculations and dogs coming down with mange. And, oh, yes, there's supposed to be some diseases. Can we pause it there for a second? Yes. You know why? You know why? Zika. Ebola. Ebola killed two people in our country? They need you afraid. The less you're afraid, the more you think. The more you think, the more you'll step outside of those thoughts. And the more you'll come up with your own fucking opinion. And that is awesome. That's your destiny. You don't have to agree with other people. But don't let old thoughts be your thoughts. Don't let what you're told be fact. Make sure it is yourself. This is the crumbling of religion. This is why this is happening. I watch it on a couple of Facebook pages. Every once in a while, I remind them that they're both full of their own shit because an atheist can't prove there is no God. Prove, and I mean prove. And then, of course, a religious person can't prove there. I'm sorry, the other way around. There isn't a God. And then, of course, prove there is a God. I love that. This is our destiny. And the only difference is this happened in villages hundreds of years ago, and occasionally it was written down, and then that burnt down in a fire. Well, now we have this thing called the internet, and we can all put ourselves out there, and those words will be there, those thoughts will be there. It's just goddamn awesome. It's just the best thing that's happened, and it is our salvation. You want to see... Seriously, you want to see a revolution in this country? Shut down the internet. All right, let's let Reverend Patrick Henry spite more fear here.
As Ryder was pulling a pair of scales in his hand, that I heard was something like a quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages.
The black horse essentially represents famine and food shortages.
And it's going to result in the deaths of hundreds of millions of people.
There you go. By the way, I'm kind of torn when it comes to the redistribution of wealth. I would prefer that some of the ultra wealthy take some of that money and invest it in things. But here's the problem. If they invest it in solar energy and they own the oil companies, they're literally fucking themselves in the ass. So you can't expect the ultra-powerful to release their power through some type of empathy and change. Those changes are what we're fighting for. Legalization of cannabis, solar energy in America. Because that means big pharma and big oil have to give up their power. They don't want to do that. So they infiltrate the system, they own the system, and they pay off the people in the system. But they can't stop this yet. Maybe they will someday, but right now they can't. The point they're making is, oh yeah, famine. Oh, you know what? Just through aquaponics alone, we could feed the world, I don't know, 8 times over. Google it, aquaponics. Uses less land and less water and grows tonnage of not just veggies, but proteins, fish as well. Because they're both in the same cycle. The fish waste becomes the fertilizer for the plants, and the plants oxygen for the fish to live. And anytime you have a perfect cycle in nature, it is a regenerating cycle. There is no beginning and end to it. It just continues on. So aquaponics is just, you know, hemp. I talk about this shit all the time. Our answers are here. Tidal power, you know, put little micro generators out there in the water. When the tide comes in, it spins a flipper, and that flipper generates electricity. And you know tides are predictable. They happen twice a day, and they are very predictable, and you can generate terawatts of electricity. There's a tremendous amount of liquid hot magma under the planet. You can pull that heat out and turn it into steam, turn the steam into electricity. Yeah, yeah. There are no shortages. But what they're telling you here is, oh, in the Bible, God's is going to create the famine. You know what that famine is? You know what that famine is? It's two things. It's greedy fuckers and it's sick fuckers. In other words, the greedy ones don't care. And the sick ones are following the biblical script so other people can go famine. There should be no reason whatsoever that anyone starves to death on our planet. Not in 2016. That's hubris. That's pure hubris. All right, I'm going to hit play, and then I'm going to get all the way to part 4, which is, there we go. And you know what, part 4, there's a lot of commercials. I'm sure they're going to come back. Now they're talking about the global collapse, the horses, and yep, going to commercial again. And, whoop, here we go. Here's the juicy part. Okay? Commercial for some type of gastric pill. And a woman, there we go.
Sometimes fatal, as well as serious lung problems.
See, that's still a drug commercial. I thought I blew through all of them. Nope, there's a commercial. Andrew Luck shaving his beard. And come on, let's do this. And more commercials. There we go.
Four horsemen who will bring God's final judgment upon our world. The white horse of the Antichrist. The pale horse of pestilence. The black horse of famine. And the red horse of war. The appearance of the rider on the red horse promises to pit mankind in a crossfire between the forces of good and evil. In the battle of Armageddon. But where and how will this war of biblical proportions begin?
I don't know, Middle East, after 9/11?
In the War of Armageddon, there is called the War of Gog and Magog.
Gog and Magog are nations who are hostile to the saints of Christ, who at the time are dwelling in the beloved city, the city of Jerusalem.
The key players in the War of Gog and Magog, it talks about Russia, and it talks about Persia, which is modern-day Iran, and Syria.
Okay. Let's not pretend there's not a ton of energy resources in the Middle East, and that they are dwindling. And if the powers that be want to retain in power, they have to control energy. So to control energy, at least for the next 10 to 20 years, is still oil. That is two reasons. One is there's still quite a bit left, and two is they're using their power to continually squelch geothermal, tidal, solar. In other words, they're going to hold it down until their tap starts to run dry, and then they're going to dump all their money into it, and then they'll control it. But you can't control the sun. You can't control the wind. You can't control tidal power, not up and down every coast. You can't. So they're losing their power. So what do they do? They play out the end of this book that 2.5 billion people know about, called, of course, you know, the whole show's been about this.
And it is literally Satan mobilizing the armies of Russia and Iran and these Middle Eastern nations to come against Israel in an attempt to destroy them in the last days.
Sounds like the script's being played out to me. Or, and here's the good part, and we'll close up shop. That's enough for tonight. Thank you, Jerry, for staying an extra half hour. We can make our own future. And that's, you know, when you start to recognize that someone has lied to you or cheated on you, you wake up. You pay attention. You go, oh, my God, all the signs were there, and I didn't see it. Or I trusted too much, and I didn't see it. Well, that's okay. Because, believe me, I've been there, both sides, professionally and in my own personal life. But now we're at a very cool place. I want to inspire you to find one topic you're curious about and Google the shit out of it. Learn it. Be someone at a party that can sit around and go, you know what? I was looking at solar energy the other day, and did you know that? Bam, 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 bam. And 10 people are all leaning around you. Not to make you, you know, like the center of attention, but you are a broadcaster. I tell that to people all the time. I'm just a guy with a flashlight going, look at this topic. Look at that topic. I'm a professional thought provoker. That's what I do. It's up to you to be curious. And you know what? I own your ass. I so own your ass. People so many times ago, you know what? I used to think you were a dick. And you're blah, blah, blah. But I listened. And then I Googled a movie or I watched this. And I'm like, And then look, it's not about I was right. It was about you've been lied to. And guess what? Use your own brain to decipher that information, make up your own mind. And as that happens, we reach eventually, it's also an atomic equation that generates an A-bomb, something called critical mass. It's critical mass is an avalanche that can't be stopped. Think of it that way. And it happens because of knowledge. More and more people sit around and go, you know, believe me, trust me on this. There are people that it used to go, dude, you know, 9/11, leave it alone, blah, blah. You know what? Oh, they're always like emailing me now, man, I just watched this and I got to tell you, I'm really starting to look into things. First of all, it's flattering. It's great. But second of all, that is part of the critical mass. It's like one more domino fell over there, and that domino is going to hit two more. And those two are going to hit four. And that's what critical mass is. But you've got to have the nads to say, you know what? I'm not sure that a 5,000-year-old book should be telling me who God is. Or a 2,000-year-old book or a 1,760-year-old book. You know what? I'm going to make up my own mind. That's how we're going to evolve. That's how it's going to happen. You know, the love and the forgiveness and the empathy and togetherness and all those cool words, they permeate almost every religion I've ever heard about. The rest of it was invented at a certain time, at a certain place, during certain environment or political environment, call it what you will. And those people that wrote it, they had their own personal agenda. The guy who wrote Revelation was exiled from a country. You don't think he was going to write, there's going to be a smiting, You're going to get your ass fried. This guy's going to show up and you're an asshole. You don't think that's happening? You don't think someone puts their own personal experience into a biblical writing? These are conversations I cannot have with my family, so I am destined to have them here. You know what? That's okay. This is my outlet. This is just like it was when I was 15 years old and I had zits and I weighed 132 pounds at 6 foot tall. And if I turned sideways in the shower, seriously, I'm not kidding. If I turned sideways in the shower, people used to go, "Where's Legend?" Junior high was rough. And then I had this thing called a CB radio. And I sat in the basement and keyed the mic. And 40 years later, holy shit, 40 years. That's crazy. 40 years later, I'm there going, you know what? Look into who wrote the Bible. Look into Constantine. Look into the Council of Nicaea. Look into things. It doesn't mean there's not beauty and love and some amazing universal thought in those books. And I'd recommend that's the best place to go. I mean, that's the stuff that helped me. So I'm not here to shoot down your religion. I say it at the beginning of the show and I say it at the end of the show. But I am here to make sure that I am not silent, because that would piss me off. If I said, man, I was given a brain and an intellect and a flow of information and a communication skill, and what did I do with it? And if I didn't do anything decent with it, honestly, that's a rough last, you know, like 2-3 minutes, you die and you're looking back in your life and you're going, what the fuck did you do with it? Never tell people what to think, but always encourage them to think. That's what I do. And I have this great new relationship with the people over at Radio Influence. They're continuing to add talent. I'll tell you more about the musical side of two shows I'll be doing. One will be weekly and a podcast, not live. The other one will float and be at live concerts. Yeah, I love the internet. I love the portability of the transmitter, the flap top, and everything that was given to me. And we're going to do some good things with it in 2016. Now, I am back next Wednesday. I'll be back Tuesday. We're going to Wani Fest in, let me see, about 7 in the morning. It's about 8 hours from now. Going to go jam out to 60 bands, 4 stages, 3 days, and who knows where this old crazy consciousness is gonna go. Woohoo! And we'll be back next Wednesday for our 420 show. We'll be talking about the, again, accelerated viewpoints and consciousness when it comes to cannabis and hemp and what we're learning about the science. And, I don't know, people are calling them miracles. If I had a kid with autism, if I had a kid having seizures, I'd call it a fucking miracle, too. So I'll talk to you on 420. Good night.
An On the Beach Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I know you're not a big Facebook person, but over the last few months, if you've noticed, they've added an interested option to your, you know, to your invites. If you want to go, you can either, you know, say yes or decline it, or you can say that I'm, quote, interested. Like, I might go to your event.
It's like a maybe option.
It's a maybe. There's a maybe option. And this is like, this maybe option is like the most pretentious thing I've ever seen in my life. It's basically, you're telling people, well, maybe I might go to, I might go to your party.
We'll see how things work out this weekend.
If the other 17 things I have all fall through, then maybe, maybe I'll bless you with my presence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll make an appearance at your party.
Ugh.
I think the maybe option is bullshit.
Of course.
It's absolute bullshit. Because number one...
Or just don't respond like I did.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like, you know...
If you know you're not going, don't respond.
Over there,
exactly.
But, you know, I'd really like to if I can.
Yeah. But don't give me a maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to throw a maybe up on there.
No. I think the maybe is pretentious as hell, first off. To say you're going to maybe go to the party when you know full well you're not going to go. And and you're just like, you got the host on pins and needles thinking, oh, maybe they're going to show up. Oh, maybe this person's going
to
show up.
Especially when you're trying to plan a party. And you make food and everything.
I know.
It's like you got
to,
you know.
I need to figure out how much fucking food I need to make.
Right.
Yes, this is very important. How much beer I need to buy. Like, this was, a lot went into this. And I got all these goddamn maybes. And I counted the maybes.
How many maybes?
There were 18 maybes.
Oh, my gosh.
How many of the maybes do you think showed up to the pool party?
None.
Not one fucking maybe. Not one. Out of all 18 maybes, none of them showed up.
Why even have a maybe option? That's so stupid.
It's because Facebook sucks.
I still don't understand the emojis that we have on Facebook.
Oh,
now,
there's too many of them.
I haven't used any of them. If I like something, it's usually because it's a family member or something. You know, I'll say, oh, yes, I love that person. I will like their photo.
Yes. But if you love a person, you're not going to love their photo.
No. Yeah. Other than that, I'm like, you know, whatever.
I don't even know what they are. They don't even say what they are. So I've already lost track of what everything is.
It's
I know
ridiculous.
There's like one that's like really funny and one's like and love and... I don't know, angry. It's stupid.
It is really stupid.
But that maybe thing, really.
That
the maybe
is irritating.
Thing, it's super irritating. Like, if you're listening, what's his face? Zuckerberg?
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fan of the show. Get rid of the maybe option, okay?
Yep.
The maybe option sucks, and no one, I'm fairly certain that this isn't just at my party. I'm fairly certain that no one in the history of Facebook has ever clicked maybe and actually went to a party.
Probably not.
No, it's never happened. Because if you say you might go, you have no intention of ever going.
You're either like, yes, hell yes, I can't wait to show up. It's
exactly.
A pool party on
all
a
caps.
Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Yes, I'll be there.
Or you can't be there.
Or you can't be there. And you just, you know, don't respond.
That's it. Or there's no reason
say
to say
no.
Like maybe or say no. There's lots of people that declined.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I do. I'll fuck you. There needs to be a fuck you option over a maybe option.
Screw you. I never liked you anyway. Option.
Exactly. Where's that option?
Where's that?
That option is more honest.
I hated you in high school. Period.
Yes. That option
not
is more
to your stupid party.
Exactly. That option's more honest
than
the maybe option where you're just dangling that carrot out there when you're not going to fucking go.
Oh,
fuck
stupid.
You and your maybes.
Zuckerberg's got to get it together.
He sucks. He's an idiot. What's that guy doing with his life?
On the Beach can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.